Welcome back to season three of Relish the Journey. Hanging out with me, Miles Biggs. I'll be your host, your guide on this audio adventure. And I appreciate you joining me. As a reminder, guys, you're listening to a pretty cool show. Relish the Journey was listed as a top 15 podcast of 2020 by New York Weekly. I gave a TED Talk based on conversations from this podcast. I wrote a book based on conversations from this podcast. So a lot of cool things that you are a part of as a listener, and I do appreciate the fact that you're listening. And go check out that book I mentioned. It's called Unseen Work, Why the Best Path to Your Goals is Not Always a Straight Line. You can get it for sale on Amazon. And if you go to milesbiggs.com/TEDx, you can watch the TED Talk that the book is based on. So enough of my shameless plugs here. Our episode today is the most downloaded episode in Relish the Journey history. It is season one, episode six. You heard me right. Of over 200 episodes, the number one most downloaded podcast is the one you're about to hear from season one, number six. I recorded this before anything was even published to go off of, to know what anybody would like. And this is with my champion behind the scenes, my beautiful wife, Claire. I sat down with Claire in 2018, right after our son was born, and just talked to her about what it was like to be pregnant, have a baby. And it's so funny and so timely because we just had our second baby. I'll have to get her to have this conversation again pretty soon and hear what it was like for a second time. But I think why people really love this episode is because Claire is just so raw and real. She cries a little bit. But she doesn't hold anything back. And we just, I listen to it back and smile because I can hear our banter and chemistry. And, you know, I just love her, obviously. She's my wife of over 6 years, mother of my sons, and she's just awesome. And I think that awesomeness comes through because y'all thought so too with your download numbers. So check out this episode and then stay tuned. We'll chat about it a little bit. So, a few questions for you that might seem odd because we talk about this stuff all the time, but I'm going to go one layer deeper for the rest of the world here.
Okay.
So, obviously, we started with the fact that we are married.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
You got it.
why don't you share, from your perspective, what it was like when we first met?
Well, so it was the first day of freshman year of college. It was move-in weekend, and my roommate was also on the swim team, and she had done a lot of homework prior to getting to campus, so she knew who all of the other freshman swimmers were and probably who the whole roster was at that point. But I remember we went to the CAF for, I guess it was lunch or like an early dinner.
Yeah, I think it was lunch.
I think my parents had already left, and hers were probably gone at that point too, but walked into the CAF, and she walked right up to your table where you were sitting with your mom and just walked up, introduced herself and said, "You're Miles Biggs, aren't you?" And you looked at us like we had about four heads each. And you said, "Yeah." And she goes, "I'm Lindsay and this is Claire, my roommate." And she sat right down. And so I followed suit because I didn't know anybody else. She was the only person I knew at that point. So we sat down and we had lunch with you and your mom. And I thought you were a jerk.
Just because of the way I said, "Yeah."
Yeah, you just seemed too cool for school. So your long, flowy hair.
I did have long hair.
But that's like all I remember. It was just like one little moment.
Was there any lead up where she's like, "Oh, that's Miles, let's go say hi"?
No,
or she just was
not
like,
that I remember.
Waltz right up.
I don't remember any pre-talk. I just feel like we walked in.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we're doing this. Where are we going to sit? It's like, you know.
Sure. So I was the jerk.
Getting picked for dodgeball. She just walked right up.
Well, I was just taken by surprise because I was like, who is this? And how do they know who I am? Mm-hmm. And of course, I love my mom, but I'm there with my mom. I'm the guy in college eating lunch with his mom. So it's a little embarrassing. Or it's like,
well,
great.
Well, it was move-in day.
Yeah.
think anybody held it against you. But no. Yeah, I mean, it was awkward. I was so uncomfortable because that's not me. I don't walk up to people and just sit down and eat lunch with them.
It's true.
But she, my roommate was very outgoing, and that was just her personality, which in hindsight is a good thing.
Yeah, so do you think you consider yourself to be a shy person?
I think I'm an introvert. Whether or not that's interchangeable with shy, I don't know. But I'm definitely an introvert.
Yeah?
Yeah. But my job forces me to be an extrovert.
So you find it easy to switch it on and off?
Yeah, I just need me time. I need to, like, there's definitely times when I need to decompress and be alone, put myself in my box, so to speak, and get away from people and, you know, have some quiet time to recharge.
Interesting. I don't think I ever would have classified you as an introvert.
Absolutely. I've taken the Myers-Briggs test 1,000 times, and every single time I'm an introvert.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How'd you classify me?
I think you're an extrovert.
Really?
Yeah. More so than an introvert, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I have to turn it on, too.
Yeah.
I much prefer to just kind of be in my own bubble.
Yeah.
I can, but like, I can step out on stage for sure. Like, I have a role to play.
Oh, yeah.
And then I get out and play it. And
well, my job, I have to talk to people and entertain people, so to speak. So you can't, I don't have the luxury to just say, I'm having a bad day, I'm going to sit in my office, you know, because it doesn't work like that.
I do know.
So, yeah.
Can you hear a dog right now?
She's so pathetic.
That's our dog crying because she's not getting attention. That's funny. So the name of this is Relish the Journey.
Mm-hmm.
You talked very briefly about how we met. How do you think you would classify or explain our journey as a couple, as a team?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever thought of it like that before. I think it started off, I don't know. I don't know if bumpy is the right word. I just think we...
Bumpy's a good word.
Okay, bumpy. We'll use bumpy. It started off bumpy.
So it was college. And that moment, the fateful moment in the cafeteria when I was a jerk and just said, hey.
Mm-hmm.
I was the guy that came to college with a girlfriend in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were attracted to each other at first, I still had a girlfriend back home for the first semester of school.
Mm-hmm.
So you could classify that as bumpy because there's definitely some flirtation going on. But it never went further than that because I still was in a relationship.
Right. And your roommate called dibs.
And my roommate called
dibs. Shout out to Mike.
So what was it like having dibs? Did you know at the time that he called dibs?
No, I had no idea.
But
no,
you were definitely the sought after.
I mean, not
girl.
To, I'm not at all trying to like toot my own horn, but every guy on your floor, except for like the others on the swim team, asked me out at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the best line you got of a guy asking you out?
Oh gosh, I have no idea. I don't know. I feel like I got pickup blind.
It's just like, hey girl.
Yeah.
Trying to party.
Well, and I mean, it was never like anybody asked me out on a legitimate date, you know? It was like a party or to go hang out in their room or, you know, nothing like...
I'd like to take you to dinner.
Yeah, nothing serious like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What was our first date? Do you remember?
Probably Starbucks because neither one of us had a car, so we had to be able to walk somewhere.
We went to Starbucks a lot.
Yeah, we didn't really venture off campus all that much until we turned 21.
Whoa, I remember when we used to borrow Brandon Good's car.
Gosh.
And it was this old beater BMW. And I remember we took it with a group to the movie theater and the whole thing iced up on the inside.
Yeah, it was so cool.
That was very sketchy. I was driving.
I forgot.
I was trying to see through ice. We had to go see Notorious, the Biggie Smalls movie.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's funny.
I forgot all about that car.
So, started off bumpy. How would you describe it from then on?
I mean, I think we became fast friends for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw each other constantly between living next door to each other, being on the swim team. You know, we were just constantly around each other. So we were in the same group of friends. So once we got beyond the bumpy part and started dating, I think it was just very natural.
Yeah.
Very easy. I don't remember, like, any major issues or blow-up fights or, you know, anything like that.
It's always stupid stuff.
Yeah. I mean, never anything that was, like, about to break us up type of fighting. Just bickering.
Right.
We still bicker.
Did you ever think about breaking up with me in college?
No, I truly sure. don't.
I don't remember ever thinking of it. It was just kind of like once we went, like, all in, we never looked back.
Yeah. I remember in the early stages, I was when it was bumpy, it was, you know, you had lots of doubt.
Yeah.
Kind of things. Like, is this worth it? Kind of stuff. But I think once, like you said, we decided to go all in and see what was there, I don't think it was... I never had doubts.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just be curious. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I thought about breaking up like 5 times. It'd be funny.
No, I mean, I cried hysterically when we left for after the
I remember that the first year.
Yeah.
Which that was interesting because we were so, like, we saw each other all the time,
we were
every day.
Such a bubble.
And then me being from Easton and you being from Pittsburgh, we were on exact opposite ends of the state, and I think it was a 5-hour drive between the two. So we didn't see each other all that much that summer, just a few times.
Yeah, just twice, I think. I drove out there once. It was the first road trip I ever took by myself. Really, first road trip. And you were staying... Oh, maybe I went twice. No.
Well, the first summer,
just once. You were home.
Yeah, it's the last summer I lived at my parents' house.
I went out there once, and then you came to visit once, because didn't you get your Civic that summer?
Yeah, because my first trip out there, I cracked my windshield on the turnpike, and I was so pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we only saw each other twice.
College seems so long ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was so easy.
So how would you describe our journey after school?
My gosh.
You've been out of school now, when you think about it. Graduated 2012, so it's 6 years.
It's been so busy.
That's a good way to do it. From bumpy to busy.
It's been so busy.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't really lived yet. You know what I mean?
I feel like we've lived. It's just been in fast forward.
Yeah.
Like most people coasted, I think, out of school. Mm-hmm. And we've just been kind of leapfrogging from thing to thing and opportunity to opportunity. You can really chronicle our lives after school by the places we've lived.
Yeah.
So that one little apartment in Mifflinburg first with a couch in the kitchen because I wouldn't fit up the stairs. Mm-hmm. A bathroom under the steps with a shower in the closet of the kitchen.
Yep.
And then we didn't even have a bed for like the first 3 months.
We were so poor.
Went to the laundromat, 10 for 10 boxes of pasta at the grocery store. Kind of missed those days in a way.
It was simple. Remember when I sliced my finger open?
I do remember. Okay, so tell that story.
I had just started a new job. Well, it was my first job. We were only living together for like a month.
Yeah.
Because I started that job like 2 weeks in. But so I'd only been working for maybe a month or so. And I had an hour commute. So it was like super early in the morning because I had to be there at 7:30. And I've never been good with knives. I'll preface that, the story with that.
It's because you're left-handed.
Yeah. And I was cutting open an English muffin, which I now know.
They're
just meant to be torn apart.
Yes.
At the time, I was using a huge bread knife and I was holding it between my thumb and my fingers, and I sliced right through to my pinky, perfectly straight cut. And I just remember like dropping the English muffin, blood all over. It looked like a crime scene of an English muffin.
It did.
And I just remember saying, "Miles, I'm having an emergency. I need you to come downstairs."
And you said it in the calmest way. I'm upstairs getting ready. You're like, "Miles, I need your help down here. Come down." And yeah, it's like shots fired in the crime scene of the sink with blood, like wet bread, the knife. And you just look at me like, "Oh, fix it."
Yeah, and it was like I
should have gotten stitches.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah. I refused to go to the hospital because I was like stressed over getting to work. So we taped it up. I chalked that up to your Boy Scout skills.
Taped it up and said, "You need to go to the hospital." But instead, you went to work. Yeah, Boy Scout says, "You told your mom, it's okay. Miles is an Eagle Scout."
Oh my God, it hurt so bad. I cried the whole way to work. It hurt so bad. And I remember I got into the office and my boss was like, "You don't look so good." And I just remember saying, like, "I cut my finger." And he told me to go. No, I don't even think I went during the day. Or did I?
You went like partway through the day, but by then it was too...
Yeah.
I had to like glue it together.
I went to Med Express. I guess it was mid-afternoon. And the doctor was like, "Well, it's too late for stitches, but we could use this medical super glue." So they did. Oh my God, it hurt so bad though.
I remember living in that apartment.
So stupid.
And it was right on the main street. And for those of you that know Mifflinburg, it's a little, you know, central PA town. Like small town America. There's Amish in the area, Mennonites in the area. I remember waking up on Sunday mornings to the sound of horses on the street, people going to church. But I also remember the parades. We were like, "What the hell?
Parades for everything."
It's a parade. And so people would just be sitting on the front like stoop of our apartment because we were right in the main drag, and or walk outside, there'd be just like, you'd step on candy because there's a parade that we didn't even know happened.
Yeah, but you know the best part?
The Christmas tree.
Okay. That was
across the town. Christmas tree was right across from our apartment. So
yeah,
we got to take all that in.
But I was going to say, one block walk to Trivia Night on Thursdays at the
D. True. Yep. That was fun. So what do you think was your favorite memory in that apartment?
Well, we got engaged in that apartment.
Okay. That wasn't a trick question, but that was a good answer. Besides that, we could talk about that story. But
No, I mean, Trivia Night was fun. We used to go with our... We had like three friends. We would meet up with Nick there sometimes.
Yeah.
Shane and Amber a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it was just... our big night out. We couldn't afford to like really do much of anything else.
Yeah,
you know?
We'd go get like wings and have a couple beers and that was it.
Yeah, because it was dirt cheap. Yeah, it was just...
It's a trivia night. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah. And this is like way, way, way before the rail.
Yeah.
So like there wasn't anything.
There's nothing else in town. Yeah.
It was one of two restaurants, three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we weren't at the laundromat, which eventually I put my foot down and refused to go.
Yeah. So I went in the snow, loading up the car with laundry.
It was horrible.
It was to the point where I was riding my bike to work because we were so close. And so the only time I used my car was to go to the laundromat. Mm-hmm. So I had to like unbury it from snow. And, yeah. So. But the favorite was getting engaged. So I don't think we've ever really talked about that in detail. I mean, I know from my perspective, it was a very stressful day.
Yeah.
But what was your initial thoughts? Like,
well, this was like the weirdest day. So it was Good Friday. And I worked until 3 that day. Our office closed early. And I remember you came and took me to lunch in Williamsport because you have off that day.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is so weird, but whatever. I'll go to lunch. So I went to that little cute cafe, which is gone. Remember that one? Right by my office. Where it's now like a T-Mobile store.
Really?
Yeah. Round World Coffee.
That's where we went?
Mm-hmm. It's gone now.
Yeah. But I was just so, I didn't even, I like barely remember that day. I was so stressed out.
We went
there
for lunch and then I remember our office closed early and I remember calling you when we closed saying we're all going to get frozen yogurt. I worked in an office full of girls. So I said the girls and I are going to get frozen yogurt, which probably now looking back, you were like, great. Another hour.
Yeah.
But I just remember it was so weird because somehow the conversation and one of my coworkers had recently gotten engaged and they all knew that we had been dating since, you know, college. And so somehow the conversation turned to when would we get engaged? And I just remember saying like, I don't know. We've never talked about it. It's nothing that I foresee really happening anytime soon just because we've never talked about it. I don't know, whatever. And so I remember getting home and you met me. I called you to say that I was leaving because it was going to be another hour until I got home. And then you were like, okay, call me when you park, which I thought was weird, but again, didn't really think about it. But I remember walking around, called you when I parked because we had to park behind our apartment and then walk around to the front. And I remember you came outside and you had an Easter egg basket because you had planned this Easter egg hunt because we weren't going home for Easter because we were supposed to move that weekend or pack that weekend. We were moving the following weekend to Williamsport. So we decided not to go anywhere for Easter. So you had planned an Easter egg hunt for me, which again, I didn't put it together that it was Friday. And if we weren't going anywhere, you could have just done the Easter egg hunt on actual Easter. But whatever. Yeah. So I did my little Easter egg hunt by myself in our little apartment. And I was upstairs in the TV room.
Right.
That far bedroom, playing with my candy or whatever was in the eggs. And you were like, oh, you missed an egg in our bedroom. I was like, oh, okay. So I went back into the bedroom and it was in a bag of clothes that I was getting rid of sitting on the floor. It was like one of those bigger eggs that I think Reese cups come in or something like that.
Yeah, I had to unpack it.
And so I brought it back into the other room to open it. And there was like, you know, the little egg grass in there and then a box. And I just remember like I'm sitting on the floor this whole time, just totally going through the motions, not even realizing what's happening.
It's funny because you're sitting on the floor in your work clothes.
Yeah, I looked you like just, crap. My hair was in a
bun. But then you're surrounded by candy and you're just like, what's
like
going on?
I like a 7-year-old. Cable knit sweater and my gray pants and flats. Like I did not look good at all. I did not, my nails were not done. I was not prepared for this. That's a sad point. But so I opened the egg and there's this box inside and I opened the ring box and there's a ring. And I just remember you were like, okay, you have to stand up now. Because I was sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know what you said.
I don't remember what I said either.
I remember looking at you saying, is this a joke? Like, I couldn't even comprehend what was going on. Yeah, we were engaged. We went out with our friends.
Yeah, that was wild.
You got so drunk. Well,
people treated me like I was turning 21 again. Everybody kept buying me shots. It was crazy.
You got so drunk.
But also, so I had that whole day off. And mm-hmm. So I had this thing planned. And I couldn't sleep the night before because I knew it was happening. I'd been sitting on this ring for weeks.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I did was go buy eggs and chocolate and pack all the eggs and hide them. Okay, and that was 10 a.m. And I'm like, great. I've got a whole day now to sit around and stare at myself and contemplate what's about to happen. And then I almost did it at lunch because I was like, I just can't wait. Like, she can come home and do an Easter egg hunt. But you had said the whole time, we never quote-unquote talked about it, but you were very good at dropping hints about you did not want it to be done in a public place.
Oh, yeah, no.
So I had to come up with a way to do it privately. But everyone always asks, how'd you get engaged? They're like, well, crap, I got to do like a cool story. Can't just be, hey, what's up, by the way? Would you like to get married now? So, yeah, it was a fun day. Mm-hmm. think about that every time I drive past that place, because I still work close there.
Yeah.
It's for sale now.
Yeah.
You should just buy it for nostalgia.
Like, and then we ended up going to Pittsburgh the next day for Easter, which we had planned the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you wanted to be with your family, so, and show it off. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy.
That was fun.
It was fun.
So the next stage of the journey was Williamsport, because you were still working in Williamsport, and so you had to drive an hour, but your workday started an hour before mine. So you were leaving at like 6 a.m. and getting home at 7 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was riding my bike to work.
Yeah, I worked 7:30 to 6.
We moved to Williamsport for 2 years, and then I had to commute from Williamsport to Mifflinburg, and that was a fun apartment.
Yeah,
more of an apartment complex and not just like a little podunk apartment.
Yeah.
That we had. So there was a pool and friends that would live nearby, so we'd grill out. And
I thought it was a great apartment.
So that was where we planned the wedding.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was craziness.
That's when I was into running and doing half marathons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I was not.
You were not. No, you cheered me on.
Yeah.
But so that's where you talk about it being busy. We went
started
from
a new job.
Getting out of school, getting engaged. We moved once into that apartment, then moved again to the new apartment. And we're planning a wedding the whole time and going to lots of other people's weddings. Mm-hmm. For a while there, we just weren't home on the weekends. We just
home on weekends for like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Between planning our wedding and having to go to Pittsburgh constantly to meet with the different vendors and church and dress shopping and all that. Bachelorette parties, bachelor parties. And then Elizabeth's wedding, Julia's wedding.
There's a lot of weddings.
It was crazy.
And then we went from that apartment to our first house then, which is cool. After we got married, we moved back halfway in the middle between jobs. That was a good house.
Yeah, it was.
And then we got our puppy, who was crying for half of this that you could hear, little Joe. Mm-hmm. And then we sold that house just recently. And now we're in our new house that we built and just had a baby. So we've had a major life event, at least one, every year for the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for things to find our new normal.
Yeah, it's definitely a different normal.
It's very different, yeah.
So
it's good, though.
It's good. It's been fun.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main things I want to talk to you about is when you talk about journeys, the journey of pregnancy, motherhood, now thinking about adjusting back to not only being Claire the mom, but Claire the working mom, the professional.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So what is, because I'm a guy, and I was there for it, but I didn't experience it. How would you describe pregnancy?
I mean, I had a great pregnancy. I really was so fortunate that we had no complications. We had no issues.
Except for that one time, that woman.
We had a scare.
But it was her fault not to.
In retrospect, I mean, I was healthy. I was so sick. So sick for the first trimester.
And just exhausted.
And so tired. But, I mean, really, those are things that overnight, it's like they disappeared. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And those are relatively normal symptoms of pregnancy. But I loved being pregnant. I really did. I thought it was crazy how, my whole life I'd thought this is what I would look like being pregnant and what I would feel like being pregnant. It was so not at all what I imagined.
So what did you think you would
look like? Oh my God. I thought I would blow up and be huge. Yeah. I'd just look like a beached whale for 9 months of my life. Like, I just thought it would just be rough, but it wasn't. It really wasn't. I also think because I wasn't super pregnant in the dead of summer, that would have been a game changer potentially. But
you barely looked pregnant. Like from behind, you just looked normal. And you turned to the side and like, that woman's got a baby in there.
Yeah.
You could have been a pregnancy model. I think next time we got to try to get you a deal.
Yeah. So no, I mean, it was relatively easy. The last month, I would say I was uncomfortable. Carpal tunnel hit me with a vengeance.
Has that gone away?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
3 weeks postpartum, overnight it was gone. Yeah, and it came overnight and went away overnight. It was crazy.
That's cool.
That was rough. I mean, that was...
Yeah, you had to be in a brace for a while.
That was pretty uncomfortable. Just super painful. And I was tired again, but it was nice because when I stopped working, I still had about 2 weeks before Mason came. So I kind of relax a little and mentally prepare as much as you can.
Right.
So
looking back, would you have prepared differently now that you knew what it was going to be?
Well, I definitely would not have been in between houses.
Yeah. Yeah, we skipped over that on that on the house journey. We sold a house before our other house was built, and so you're in another apartment.
Yeah. So I would not have done that.
But besides that, I mean, living situation aside, just as a human, mentally or physically, how do you think if you could do it again, would you do anything differently?
I don't think so. I mean, you really can't prepare because you don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Which, speaking of when it's going to happen, that's another story.
I think that's the hardest part is you just sit and wait.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I think it would have been different if, like, my semester ended. So I couldn't physically work until my due date because semester was ended. So
yeah, the college closed.
We were off, you know. And so for 2 weeks, I was home by myself, super pregnant, waiting for something to happen.
Right.
And that was just as exhausting.
Sure.
So I think I would busy myself more, you know, find stuff to do. This dog is killing me in the background, side note. But yeah, I think just doing more, getting out more, distracting myself a little bit better, I think. Just so I'm not
That's a time when it would have been nice if we had family that lived closer because people could have been hanging out with you more.
Yeah. And getting a nursery together, I didn't get to do that. I didn't get to nest.
Yeah.
I feel like I really missed out on that. I feel like it's happening now.
Nesting now.
Which is hard because our house still isn't done and, you know, we're trying to get situated still. So, but yeah, I think you really can't be prepared fully.
Yeah.
You know, you just...
So then what about moving from being pregnant to then giving birth? What was that like for you?
Giving birth or just the transition?
Well, yeah, both. I mean, transitioning and then the actual, you know, game time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think labor is something you can only be so prepared for. I think we went into it with here's kind of in general how we'd like things to go, but we both had just said at the end of the day we want a healthy baby and whatever we need to do to make that happen is what we're going to do. And I think that's part of the reason that we were, relatively speaking, calm and relaxed to an extent. Yeah. You know, I don't think there was ever a frantic moment.
Yeah, I'd agree. We were pretty just like,
I think even it was, keel. You know, here's, we're going to the hospital, we're having a baby. Once it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm in pain, you know, then it was, all right, let's get some drugs. Let's up those drugs. Let's do the epidural. Let's, you know, take that next step. I think, you know, for the most part, we were calm. We were kind of just listening to the medical professionals and my body and did what we needed to do.
So is there anything that surprised you about it? Like in the moment, you were just, you're envisioning something completely different than what actually happened?
I mean, it's such a out-of-body experience, and like you can't even describe the pain. You have no idea. Like, you hear it hurts.
No, I mean, I witnessed it, I could tell, but I also, yeah, it's just,
I think
it was wild to watch. I can't imagine what it was like to be,
I think that
the person giving birth,
I think that, I don't want to say took me by surprise, but I think that was something that I was like, shit, this, they're not kidding when they say you've cannot compare this to anything else.
Right. Or people say, oh, you'll know.
It's there's like, no way to describe it. There truly is no comparison to what it feels like. I mean, the whole thing took me by surprise. I know we went to class and read books and articles and all that stuff, but it was just, it was still like, it's so different once you're actually in the moment, you know? I think I was in such a little like time bubble. No recollection of like time. And so when I relive the day, it feels like it all happened in a matter of 2 hours. And I know that's not the case. I don't know how it felt for you, but for me, it felt like we got there, we checked in,
we walked
a little, I was in pain, we got drugs.
I mean, it was like 12, 13 hours, but I feel like we didn't linger. We didn't linger in any one stage for too long. Like,
yeah,
you just progressed through. It was like
quickly.
couple hours. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, we can't get past this one part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's like I feel like no one prepares the guys.
Yeah.
Like, and it sounds like, oh, we have poor guys. We don't really go through the physical pain, but it was definitely stressful. And the hospital we were at, you know, they want the guys to be like participants. So I'm, you know, holding a foot and a leg and while I'm coaching, and it's like, holy crap, this isn't like on TV where it's all glamorous and 20 minutes later a baby comes out. It's
no, it's nothing like that.
You know, growing up as guys, you know, I don't know if girls talk about it or like you just know it's going to be not like it is on TV, but guys have no idea.
Yeah.
Like the typical person. And me, even me growing up with all women, it was that was very eye-opening, just what actually happens throughout the process. And yeah. then the freakiest thing, well, the worst thing is just I'm a control freak personally. So not being, literally not being able to do anything but mm-hmm. have a wet washcloth or like give you a sip of water. And it's just like, you know, I just want, if I could, I would have reached in and just took all the pain for you, but yeah. I couldn't. That was the hardest part, just having to kind of sit back and mm-hmm. observe.
Yeah. No, it
was hard.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, I'm exhausted. And it's like, well, I feel bad. Cause it's like, I'll be over here sleeping while you're doing all the work, you know? So you can't. So you just get to this like yeah. sleep deprived, stressed, anxious, you know,
yeah.
point. It's
a lot.
The baby arrives and you just kind of forget all about it. And then it's a whole new set of anxiety and stress and emotions. And, mm-hmm. So what's your favorite part about it now? He's here. He's 2 months old mm-hmm. as we record this. Sleeping finally mm-hmm. in his crib in the other room. Mm-hmm. What do you like the most about it so far?
I think everything. I think every day he does something new and different, and he's cute all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's just adds this whole other dynamic. I don't know.
So when people talk about the bond between a mother and a child, mm-hmm. and I know you feel that. Mm-hmm. I feel it as a dad, but how do you describe that? Like, you know what I mean? I know you can't see the bond, but, like, yeah. how would you describe, like, that just connection?
I don't know. I don't know if you can put it into words. I just think it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all happy tears.
Yeah.
I just feel like we're incredibly lucky because he's a cute little dude. First off, I'm glad we don't have an ugly alien baby, but everything just seems to be working out in our favor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just, I just love him.
Yeah, he loves you. Yeah. Should I tell a joke now?
What?
Just to switch it up, we're getting heavy.
No, I mean, he's just, it's amazing. It's something that kind of, you know, for me, I don't know if it's, guys probably don't think about this stuff as much as girls do, but, you know, you picture your life with kids and then it happens and it's just been great. Exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for him to sleep more.
But I feel like, you know, every day a little bit more clicks. You know, we have no idea what we're doing, but he's healthy and he's alive and he's happy. And
he flashes you one of those smiles and a giggle and you're just like, all right, we got this.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I had this vision of how things would be and it's nothing like that. Not that it, in a bad way, but, you know, it's 2 months in and I had these expectations and we're not there yet and that's okay. You know, I'm a scheduled person and
yeah,
he's on his own schedule. And
but he can roll over from his stomach to his back, which is apparently a big deal. I had no idea until we did it.
Yeah. So it's been, you know, challenging of course, but it's been fun just learning him and seeing the world through his eyes. It's been pretty cool.
I can't wait till he just can waltz in the room and say, hey, what's up?
I'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
So
that's what I keep thinking about is, we think about life up to this point, we're 28 years old, and it feels like it's been a whole lifetime. But it's really just like, you know, it was a lifetime. It is a lifetime.
Yeah.
But now we're in, like, second lifetime. You know, it's not just us anymore. It's our lives. And mm-hmm. then, like you said, we'll see it through his eyes. We'll get to re-experience those first 28 years.
Yeah.
In his first 28 years. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be 56.
Ugh.
And he'll be getting married and
having
his own babies. Then you do it all over again with that kid. You know, it's just, it's crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
But it's exciting.
Yeah.
So we'll switch it up. Talk happier. Not that that wasn't happy, but stuff that doesn't make you cry. Get you smiling again. So second part of this, it's going to be, seem really redundant, but I found talking to people that if I just go right into deep questions, I get blank stares. Mm-hmm. So the first couple questions I'm going to ask you of this questionnaire are just very basic. Mm-hmm. So just bear with me. You used to the rapid fire, just here's a question to answer instead of the more conversational thing. So question one, mm-hmm. what's your name?
Claire Biggs.
And how old are you, Claire?
28.
What is your occupation?
I'm the assistant director of admissions at Penn College, and that's the first time I've said my new title.
Look at that.
Got promoted right before I had a baby.
Yeah. So what is your passion?
That's like the hardest question. I don't know. I mean, I love you and Mason and Josie, and so I think right now my passion is my family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. 2 months ago, probably would have been a different answer, but I don't even know what that would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, describe your life in 3 words.
I think it's amazing. I think it's crazy, but the good kind of crazy. And I think it's...
Imagine if I led with this one.
I know.
It warmed you up a little bit. So amazing, crazy.
It's perfectly imperfect. I know that's more than 3 words.
We can hyphenate that one.
Yeah.
So perfectly imperfect.
Yeah. Because nobody's perfect. Nobody's life is perfect.
Sure.
Perfect for what I need and what we need, you know?
Yeah. You can relish the imperfections.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So amazing, crazy, and perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a t-shirt. One of those bags that you like. That.
Oh, yeah.
The four things, yeah, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Get that on a bag for you. Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your happiest life moment thus far?
Mason, having Mason.
He beats me out. The wedding. I know. He beats me out.
No, it's just that was a moment for all of us, you know.
Yeah. No, he can win.
Yeah, he's so cute.
He is cute. So the opposite of that.
Wedding is a close second.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What do you think would be your lowest life moment?
Gosh. I definitely think when I was in between jobs.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. But I think that showed how strong we are.
Yeah.
And how much I need you in my life, you know. Because that was, for me, felt like the end of the world.
We made it. That was when we were Williamsport, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was just a moment of being scared and the unknown and, you know, the wedding on the horizon. And it was just, you know, very nerve-wracking. But, yeah, we did. We pulled through.
It's good. Mm-hmm. So what's the best piece of advice you've gotten?
In general or about something specific?
Either one. It's just in general. It's a general question, but you can pick a specific time.
When I was pregnant, a friend of mine at work, because you get a lot of unsolicited advice when you're pregnant, I learned. People just see that as an open door to tell you everything. But I think the best advice, which can be translated not to just being pregnant, but it's to take advice and pick it apart to take only what you need. And I think that's a valuable thing to learn.
Yeah.
Because people give advice all the time about everything. So I think it's important to remember that you take what you need and get rid of the rest, you know?
That's good.
Yeah.
So what do you think's the best advice that you could give?
I think I would pass that along. Pay it forward.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's, life is crazy and you just have to take what you need from it and get rid of what you don't.
So the next question is, what questions do you have for me? Since I was asking all the questions all the time, is there anything you want to ask me?
What's been your greatest joy, best moment in life so far?
You know, I forget. I think it was, it's because somebody else asked me that too. And in the moment, I just, whatever came to my head is what I said, but it's hard to pick. It is hard to just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, for me, I feel like you can pick that best moment in the different, like, segments of who you are. Mm-hmm. So, like, Miles at, you know, 16, mm-hmm, had a great life moment, but that was different than Miles at 21 and different than Miles at 24 and 20, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, I feel like, you know, in this moment, as I think about it and all of our conversations, probably, and it sounds corny, and people can call me out after this and say it's just because you're here, I'm talking to you. But if I look back on it and all the things we were talking about with this conversation, I would say it's, what was the question, the happiest life moment? Mm-hmm. I just feel like the best, most impactful life moment, I think, would be the day Lindsay Stern came up and said hi to me in the cafeteria with you next door, because
yeah.
I struggle to imagine what my life would be like if I hadn't met you,
mm-hmm,
and we didn't get over the bumpy, mm-hmm, to get to the crazy and busy and beautiful life that we have together.
Mm-hmm.
So that moment set off all the other great things.
Yeah.
You know, because one of those things where life is crazy. You know, it's, you ask me what my passion is, it's probably finding new passions. I'm always jumping from thing to thing to thing and just trying new things, whether it be, you know, running half marathons or learn how to fly a plane or now thinking I have any business starting a podcast. But all that stuff, you know, any new high that I find, it's what makes it the most worthwhile is that I get to come home and share it with you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So you, babe, you're my best moment.
I'll take it. In the letters that you wrote me last year, you predicted 2017.
Like to a T.
Perfectly. So what are your predictions for 2018?
Well, to back that up, to clarify that, when we were in Nashville for a friend's wedding, I found this little book in a boutique shop or whatever. It was just called Letters to My Love. And there are 12 prompts in there. That was like, I don't know, I fell for you when, ... And then you fill out the letters. And then the last couple were blank. And so I just made predictions for the end of the year. And what was it? I predicted we both get promoted, which we did. At first, I didn't think I'd get that one right, but you snuck it in there right before at the end of the year. We would move. Did I say that?
I think you said build a house.
Did I say build a house specifically?
I have to go back and
look. We'd get pregnant or have a baby. What else was it? Like both get raises. I don't know. Just silly things. But they all came true, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because I wrote it exactly like 12 months
prior.
Before, yeah. My predictions for 2018 is I think it's going to be an unpredictable year. There's a lot. I mean, just geez, having a kid. I mean, who knows what he's going to do in a year that we're going to run into. So I want to predict, because I want it to be true, that it's a year where we do just kind of live our lives and there's not a whole lot of overexcitement. I want to finish my pilot's license this year. I started it and stopped it when you got close to the end of the pregnancy, but I want to be able to say I finished that. I don't want that to be something I started and didn't finish. And I want to get some traction and, you know, stability and balance with my work, because it's crazy right now. Getting my new role still under my feet, and just want to feel like that's, you know, established. And then you're going to find your passionate hobby. I feel like this is your year. You're going to find, you know, say you need a hobby. So I'm going to predict that you find a hobby. Even if it's being a mom, that's okay to have a hobby. If he's your hobby and you do stuff with him, let's broaden your circles, if you will, to moms and other families and things like that. So I think that's enough of a prediction.
I think so. That sounds like enough.
What about you? What do you predict?
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think we can predict. I think it's just, it's a year of firsts, which I think is exciting.
That's true. That is a good way to put it. Yeah.
I think it's every day. We've never lived it before. So, I mean, I know that's the case all the time, but with Mason, I think it's just, you know, it's
marked.
His first New Year's, you know, it was, it's going to be his first Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving and summer and playing outside and, you know, all of those things. I think it's just going to be fun to see what we get to do with him, what he likes, what he doesn't like. And I think it's just figuring out who we are as parents. You know, I think that's become our new first identity. You know, and so what does that mean? You know?
Yeah, we get to decide, I guess.
Yeah. So
who's Claire the mom?
I've been living in this little bubble for the last 2 months during my leave. I've, you know, a couple more weeks to go. And so it's a whole new world out there of Claire as a mom. And I don't know what that looks like. So it's just going to be fun to
That's exciting.
Explore that and figure out what the heck we're doing.
One of these days we'll figure it out.
Yeah. In about 30 years.
Oh, gosh. 58 in 30 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
But I think it'll be just exciting to just see what happens this year.
I agree.
So there she is, the most downloaded podcast guest in Relish the Journey history, and always number one to me, of course, my wife, Claire. And what a fun episode that was, right? From everything of how we met to marriage and having a baby and real emotion, and I just love it. I love listening back to it and appreciate her for everything she does to support this podcast and everything else I do behind the scenes. I'd love to hear what you guys think about this. Why do you think this is the number one recorded podcast? What stuck out to you? Click the link in the show notes and send me a voice message, and I can include that in future episodes. So go ahead and do that if you would. I'd really appreciate it. I also would appreciate it if y'all reviewed the show, gave it a rating, so we can move and groove up those podcast charts and find more awesome listeners such as yourself. That'd be awesome. So stay tuned for next week, where we've got another fun episode and moment from the archives of Relish the Journey. Appreciate you tuning in and for all the support of the show. This is your host, Miles Biggs, signing off. Cheers.